Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby gaming podcast from La Belle Provence. This week I'm here with Antoine and Yom, and we're talking about what IPs we'd like to see be made into miniature games. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio. Here this week with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And Yom Le Machin.
Hi.
So guys, it's been a long time.
Indeed, a very long time.
We are bad podcasters. At this point, I'm sure everyone thought we'd pod-faded again.
If it wasn't for the news, I would have done the same.
Yeah, that's true. We're still been around, just not in our usual content. But hopefully that'll get fixed now. Christmas is gone, New Year's is gone, my business trips are pretty much done for the year. So barring family emergencies, we should be good. Knock on wood.
Your business trips are done for the year?
Yeah, yeah. So my next business trip actually would overlap with Adepticon, so I guess I can't go on it.
Priorities.
That's right. Intel will just have to wait to see me till next year. They kind of, they don't understand at all, but they'll get over it. So we have an interesting topic this week. So we're going to be talking about licenses we'd like to see as mini war games, or just as miniatures, if you know we're feeling very hobbyish. But before that, we have to do all our regular stuff. So we got the hobby time, we got, I was going to say we have the news, but we don't have the news anymore, because that's part of our other show. We still have the hobby tip of the episode, though, and the cool stuff on the web segment. And actually, I think we're going to start with the cool stuff on the web, because it's at the top of the dock, and even though it's not where Antoine usually wants it, that's where we're going to put it.
No, that's right where we put it usually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long time,
Paul.
Yeah, apparently. All right, Antoine, take it away.
Okay, this week, I stumbled upon a big diorama, an amazing diorama by Tabletop World. They do Resin Terrain, and they did a giant table of it. So if you look at the picture, as usual, it will be in the show doc, and I urge people to go take a look at it. It's incredible.
It's like my annual salary in Resin Terrain.
Maybe nice. More. Maybe more.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a medieval village with an arbor, a castle, some ruins.
Seems to be some kind of festival going on outside, people eating at tables. You know, it's great. I wouldn't want to play any games on it because there's nowhere to move.
For a skirmish game, that would be fun.
If you say so.
A skirmish game on the course of 3 days.
But it is a lovely table. Yeah. It's a beautiful diorama. And I wouldn't mind having the room that it's presented in either.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I'm looking around the room and I see a bunch of Titans, a couple Warhounds, a couple Reavers. Oh, look, some more Reavers. Yeah, apparently they're 40k players. Yeah, there's not much else I can say aside from, wow, that table is gorgeous.
Yeah. It's absolutely really gorgeous. Worth taking a look.
Yeah, highly encourage listeners to go check that out. That is awesome. Even the... Oh my god, there's like a full beach and dock on it with scale ships and everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's far away from the castle. I didn't realize it was like a 25-foot table.
Yeah.
Temporary life goal. Go check that table.
Yep. Jeez. Well, I think it's in someone's house, you know, so they might not like a showing. I want to look at your table. I came from Canada. But yeah, that's pretty wicked. Well, Antoine, you succeeded. Cool stuff on the web has been found. All right, let's jump into hobby time. I've had a fairly productive hobby time, but it's 2 months worth, so I guess it's not that productive.
I hope so.
We never know.
Yeah, well. Okay, so a couple things. I started my Everblight commission, which I don't know if I mentioned in the last episode or not. I finished the first half, actually, so I did an Archangel, a full unit of war spears, a unit attachment, and the warmonger for Everblight as well. So I've delivered that. And I'm working on the second half now, which is Absalonia 2 and 12, I think they're called Blight Wasps.
Yes.
Is that possible? Yeah. So 12 of those little suckers. And because I'm working on those, it led to a massive airbrush cleanup, which I'm throwing in my hobby section, because I basically tore apart 6 airbrushes and cleaned them all.
Damn.
So that, yeah, it was. They were in pretty rough shape. I'd been using them and not cleaning them properly, so they needed a good scrubbing. Aside from that, I assembled and started working on some Kador Manowars. And I'm actually going to build a second unit of Bombardiers as well, since they got a quote-unquote upgrade in the last errata. Well, it's because, as I think we're going to mention later on, there's an event coming up, and there's a War Machine casual tournament. So I'm thinking of taking the Butcher tier list that you can use all the Mana Wars in, and they get one free move at the beginning of the game, so they're not quite so hamstrung and being at the back end of the table.
And it's a good list to bring to a casual event.
Yeah. I figure it'll be good at holding objectives and nothing else. Yeah, right? Yeah, shield walled. And I'll use a, what do you call it? The Iron Fang Kovnik to make them move faster when they shield wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. And the Bombardiers, you know, the combined melee. I figure the combined range attack, it should be funny if they hit one guy, like he forgets, gets his caster too close, forgets they can actually hit him now with their ranged weapon. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I'm going to drop a power 20 combined rage attack on your caster. Whee! On Butcher's feet turn where it gets boosted. Come on.
Hey, it can work. It can work.
It could work. It could be funny. It'll be the only time ever that a man wars killed a caster. What did I do? Oh, yeah. So I assembled my Guild Ball Fisherman starter set. So that's all good to go. And I'm hopefully going to pick up the remainder of the team this week. Get that out of the way. I still have to play my first game, but I've been actually looking at color schemes for them, so there's a good chance they'll get painted soon. And I started painting some Wild West Exodus minis, because I promised James Wapple I'd play against him at Adepticon. So, can't let Jim down.
How far have you come? How many minis?
Well, it's more like mini at this point. I painted one, but it's okay. It's okay. My faction is super high points cost, the Holy Order of Man, so I don't really need to paint that many, I don't think. They're also horribly ineffective at low points values because there's so few of them on the table, but that's okay, because they'll be painted. That's all that matters. last couple bits, I went to the masterclass with Liz Beckley, and because of that, actually I want to shout out to Liz because that was a great class and it was a lot of fun. And because of that, I started painting some chibis. We painted a chibi at class. And then after that, I painted an impact miniature angel chibi. And I've actually got a bunch of other ones out that I've started cleaning. So apparently there's more chibis in my future.
More impact stuff, or you're getting your SDE too?
Well, I've only got the basic set for SDE.
Uh-huh.
The basic board game. What I've gotten out right now is some more impact stuff.
Okay.
But I'm looking at my SD stuff, too. I'm trying to think of a quick way to paint kobolds. I'll probably just pull the airbrush out and block in all the colors on them and then just detail them all.
Mm-hmm.
It'll still take quite a while, but it won't be so bad, I suppose. They don't have to look as good as the heroes.
Nope, for sure.
Yeah, so that's it for my hobby time. In games, I played no mini games the last couple months. It's been pretty terrible. But I have played a couple board games, so I gave Kingdom Builder a try, which was a pretty fun game. Would I recommend it? Well, it depends on what you like. It's very simple, so I can see it being good for maybe less gamery people. It doesn't have a super complex rule set, which seems to be what most of us like as games. But it was fun. I can't complain. And I also tried... The Castle of Mad King Ludwig. At least I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
And that was fun. That's also a super simple game, but it seems to have more replay value to me than the other one did. And that was a lot of fun. I can't remember who won. It may have been me, but it's worth checking out. Though I think the game is prohibitively expensive now just because our exchange rate is so terrible. I think it's jumped up into like the, you know, the $90 range almost.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, because I think it was already a pretty expensive game because it's a lot of cardboard, a lot of high quality bits. And I think it was about a $75 game, but then the exchange rate is now at 1.4. So add another 20 or 30% to the game value, and yeah, you're up near that $100 mark. Which, scarily enough, is kind of becoming the norm for good board games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unless you want to play Monopoly and stuff. Yeah, that's it for my hobby and games. Antoine, what about you?
Oh, that was a productive 2 months. So I finished my Guild Ball Butcher's Captain Ox and cleaned and assembled two other starters, the Fisherman and the Union. And I'm working on the assembly of the rest of the Union team. I also painted an Impact Chibi Medusa for the Facebook Chibi Swap, the third one we did. It was in hiatus for a while. It was lost in limbo in the US mail for over a month and finally showed up this week. So I'm relieved. I don't have to paint a second one. After that, I did a bunch of Star Wars Armada stuff. For the Wave 2, I did all the unpainted ships, the small ships. There were 8, I think. Like the Slave 1, Millennium Falcon, stuff like that. Bigger than fighters, but not capital ships, so they're not painted. I also, like Yom will mention, we did a second wave of miniature for the Arcade Quest Inferno. Minis, they haven't been previewed yet. They're on their way to Cool Mini right now. So as weeks/month tickles, they will show up on the web and on the updates of the Kickstarter.
Some had their art previewed, I think.
Yeah, some were released. Some were released for sale, even. I think. I don't have their right names, but I saw some like the Elven Girl and the Small Knight. I saw them on a preview somewhere. So yeah.
And even during the Kickstarter.
Yeah, somewhere in the Kickstarter.
The Knight, the Monk, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw some released even I think last week. So the duo packs or stuff like that.
Okay.
So we'll see out when they go out. And as you already mentioned, we painted the Chibis during the class with Liz. So I also painted a Marie Claude.
There will be a lot of Marie Claude out soon.
Yeah.
Because I also painted one. So
and so did I.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did other stuff, but I don't remember. So that's enough.
Yeah, okay. One thing you said about the Chibi swap, it took a month in the lost in the mail, but you had to paint a second one?
No, but I didn't, but I was planning to paint a second one for my swap person.
Is that how the swap works?
It's unclear. It was the first time one was lost in the mail.
Okay.
But people sign up as angels or stuff like that if somebody doesn't complete it. So some people can fast paint the model, so at least everyone gets one.
Okay.
But in my case, I had painted it, but it was lost. So if the box was crushed and US Mail just decided to throw it in the garbage and don't advise anybody, who knows? So I at least wanted my swap buddy to get the miniature. So I was ready to start another one, but I don't think it's required. I don't think there's anything mentioned about that in their rules right now because it hasn't happened.
Angels. Swap angels.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the sound of the concept, like angels of painting justice.
Something like that.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's true. I painted something else. I redid one of the MC Studio M4 building to do a tutorial for it, a painting tutorial. So that was done in December, and the tutorial was also posted on my blog on Zanian.net. So I'll add a link to it if people want to see a basic sci-fi terrain painting done. So that's it for Rubies. In the game section, I've played a couple of games of Arcade Quest with Yom and other people locally to try it out while the Inferno was on, to know if it was worth trying the game.
Yeah.
The verdict is it's fun.
It's I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and backed the game right after that.
Yeah.
Sorry, which game are we talking about?
Arcadia Quest.
Okay.
It's really it's really super fun. It's goofy. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a versus. It's not like a like some people were complaining when it came out because of the history between Cool Me or Not and Soda Pop Miniature with the Super Dungeon Explorer, but it's not the same game at all. Sure, the style might be a bit similar, but for the miniatures, but the gameplay is completely different. So they both have their place. We played Exploding Kitten. I tried that. It was fun. Quick card game, simple. A bunch of kid games during the holidays. A week ago, we got Ninja All-Star out for my birthday. I got my pledge in, and we tried it, a four-player one. I'm not fully sold on the game. I like the concept of it, but I'm not sure four-person work with all the... It's supposed to be like a stealth game in some of the scenarios, and with four people on the board... It's too crowded, so you never go in stealth and stuff like that. So a bunch of the mechanics I think we didn't really see. And it was too new also, so maybe we just didn't figure stuff out. So the concept is fun. We need to try it again.
Yeah,
so Yom was part of it, so...
Very similar stance to yours.
Yeah, okay. And in your case, you were plagued by crappy roll and also being... between two people who had you in as a target, so...
Yeah, I'm not going to dwell on that.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul. It was someone who needs to learn to play a social game. And Antoine, you were fine, Antoine.
I killed one of your guys, I think.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, you just realize what's happening to me, so you just release pressure.
Yep.
You went to the other side, to the other guy.
That's my
the guy didn't get the message.
That's my SDE console habits. Oh, he's gonna stop playing, so I will attack somebody else.
And it's important also.
Yeah.
So, the difference between a table board game like a one versus one and a board game where if there's a lot of players, it has to be like a social event or like the game has to be fun for everyone until the end. You don't club someone out. Like three turns before the end, just because you can.
Oh, I remember you doing that to me in what was that game? The Samurai one.
The what? Samurai Sword.
Yeah, maybe. First game ever. You say, that's gonna be fine. But there's also some. How do you say that? You're supposed to try to do alliance and stuff like that. Say, I won't attack you now. Okay, third turn in. I'm out of the game. But it's also a board control game and you don't want to have people. It's not like in Ninja All-Star, at least people come back. So yeah, you can kill some, but let the other players still continue to play. I also played a ton of Guild Ball. I don't know, maybe five or six games and... at least as many demos, probably more. I've worked on a slow grow league document, and we just started last week with the first night. Did a football 2015. It was a charity game day for Guild Ball. Also, we had 9 people show up, 30 different items in the food drive. It was really fun. That game is growing locally, and I'm doing everything I can to help for it. And also, we had a bunch of Guild Ball evening during the last 2 months, And I think the last game I did try was, yes, I tried Relic Blade last night. That it's a quick skirmish adventure game that's on Kickstarter right now.
Yeah, yeah. How did that go?
Yeah, it was fun. speaking of bad rolls, Papa Guillaume was plagued by them. I think he always hit, but never damaged. So we were playing 2 versus 4. Like, you had the adventurer, and there were a lot more points than the pigs. I had 4 pigs, and over the whole game, I took 2 points of damage. And all the characters, I have at least 4 or 5 hit points each. So I took 2 points of damage over the whole game. Yeah, it didn't went well for him. But the concept is cool. It plays well. So we were playing a 60-point games, and the recommended size for a full game is 100. So I want to try it out with the full point allotment, which will also give more equipment card and upgrades to the character. So for the heroes, I think it will help diversify them out also. So
this is a generic rule set, right?
Not really. It's a specific rule set. The characters in them, you have cards for those only. They have a miniature line for it. Sure, you could play with other miniatures, but they're made to go with the specific character they have the models for. And the guy, it's really an all-man army. He's doing the design. He's doing all the illustration. He's a comic book artist. And he's doing the 3D sculpting for them too, and the marketing. So the only thing he didn't do by himself is the rulebook design. But he's doing all the editing in it. He just went to with somebody else to do the overall design of the book.
That's it.
He's working a lot.
Do you think he can be played with the kids?
I think so. Right now, the only bad thing is it's in English, but most of the abilities you don't even need to read because you have a die with a number showing on it. Let's say 4 pips for a 4. That's your target goal. So you need to roll at least 4 on a single die. And if it's an attack, there's going to be a plus on the side. Let's say +3, which means you roll +3 on your damage roll. And the action points, the movement points, and the armor are all icons too. So the only thing you need to read are for the special abilities. And once you've learned them, you don't really need to read them. And two kids together, maybe not, but an adult or another kid that can read. And let's say a kid or the age of ours, like Theodore is almost 6, your daughter is 6, and she already started to read, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure she could maybe not grasp all the tactical opportunities because there are, and there's a bunch of options when you build the characters because there's 9 character cards in the deck, but there's like 30 upgrade cards, and they're all worth like 1 or 2 points. So you have a bunch of options. So maybe the army building would be a bit too much.
Yeah, but the game mechanic should be...
But the game mechanics should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like what I saw, that every action, it shows you how many dice and what the pips you need. So if you need 2 dice, what is the number you need? So she can add the dice up together, and then the damage. So she can roll a dice, add the damage. It's all come back to mathematics.
Yeah, so and it's simple, that, so. And she doesn't have to read anything else than the die roll like needed. So I think she would be fine enough. Like, Theodore is maybe a year or two, not enough old, too young maybe.
A year too young.
Yeah.
He'll learn how to do that next year.
Yeah, I'm thinking you should be able to try it. After that, is it going to keep her interested enough throughout the game? I don't know, but the game go quickly enough. Like, for 60 points, we played maybe half an hour, 40 minutes max. And that was checking up rules and stuff like that. So under an hour easily for a full game. It's not that long. So I'm sure she could be interested. And you can play with almost anything. Sure, there come minis with him, but you can buy just a PDF. And characters are pretty easy. Like for the heroes, you have a druid that can transform into a bear. You have a questing knight, which is just a generic knight with a two-handed sword. And a cleric. So almost any miniature line can provide something for that. And for the bad guys, they're all pigs, like different pigs. A shield pig, a raider pig with throwing daggers, an axe pig with a giant axe. So pretty simple. We played last night with Super Dungeon Explorer stuff. So the heroes, and we used the kobolds instead of the pigs. But you could easily convert some War Machine pharaohs for that too.
Oh, I was thinking of my SDE chibis also. Yeah. Same thing.
So they would easily fit, and I'm sure Reaper have a bunch of stuff in the Bones line that could work too. That's it for me. A bunch of gaming. That's
it. All right. My hobby. Paul, I can go? Yeah, you didn't give me the green light.
Yeah, well, you went without my green light. I just figured you knew it was your turn.
You're the boss, man. So, same thing as Antoine. We finished the Wave 2 of Arcade Quest Inferno. I would say stay tuned on our both of our respective Facebook pages, Lasagna for Tonio and Yom La Machine for me. Because now the minis are en route to Cool Minis. So I think they were awaiting them. They are looking forward to give more previews to the backers. So those should be previewed very soon. After that, also, like Paul and Antoine, attended the masterclass by Liz Beckley. I went for the 2 days like Paul. And so that was 2 days of learning her way of painting and her giving me crap because she was not sure or understanding what I was doing there. But I still got a couple of tips from her, so that's always good. Plus, I got to spend time with them, so I just found it funny. Like, constantly picking on me because,
yeah, you were too good for her class. Same with Antoine, something like him that. On Sunday.
Like, I'm not going to show you. You already know that. No, show me. If yeah, I can get away with, one or two tips, why not?
Yeah, I just want to point out that she did not have that same comment for me, so it's all good. It's all good. Reinforces what I already knew.
But you caught on those techniques, Paul. Not like when we had the masterclass with Meg.
Oh, God.
To brush blending was not your forte.
No,
we can say,
no.
But her layering technique of Liz, layering technique, you really caught up to it.
See, the thing is, I've always been able to layer and blend like that. I just don't like to do it because it's so time-consuming. And I'd convinced myself over the years that I didn't need to do it, that my stuff was fine without it. And then, painting a couple models that way, and I was like, oh, man.
I can't do it, and it looks good. Oh, no.
Exactly. It's like, I can't fool myself anymore because I've got recent examples. Because that was the thing, right? I was looking at my... before that, I would look at the stuff I painted, let's say, 7 years ago in that style. And my new stuff is better than that. And I'm not doing the layered blending. I'm not, it's just airbrush and some glazing or whatever. And I just was using that as my baseline, saying, no, I don't have to do that much work because even when I do, it doesn't come out that nice. What I'm doing now is better. And then you fast forward with 7 years of technique and practice or whatever. And you go back to these old skills and you realize that, my painting has evolved and changed. And now when I go back and do that and combine that with the other techniques I already know now.
I'm also better, yeah.
I end up with a lot better miniature, yeah.
Yep. Next up, I decided to try or join the miniature painting bingo. I don't know if you've seen that, guys.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't
that.
Know where it came from originally, but it got lost on the web, and the guys from Models Workshop shared it again. And it's basically like there's a achievement or challenges that you can give yourself, and you it's just fun because it looks like a bingo card, so you try to line them up or do a full card or whatever, but it's just like a couple of mini challenges, and I always like doing challenges when I paint, so I decided,
Yeah.
oh, why not? I'm gonna try to fill as much as I can on this card. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the buy a bad painted model on eBay and repaint it. It's one of the
There's all
challenges.
kind of really fun stuff. Something I just know I won't do it, like a scale model, but yeah, the painted mini from eBay. Yeah, pretty funny. Others are just like a speed challenge, like a bio model painted with a base within 2 days. It's like from the moment you buy it, think, oh, okay,
Yeah, but
which
we
I
can do
never do.
that. I mean, we've
Well,
done that
I never
before.
do. I always take my time, like doing a little by little every night on several miniatures. So I know. Anyway, it's fun. You can find. I guess the f easiest way to find that miniature bingo card is on the group of Modders Workshop now. They pinned that post. So anyway, you can find it there. So I encourage people to try it. Why not? It's fun to give yourself the small challenges. For example, small challenges. One of the miniature we painted on day one of the masterclass with Liz was a guy from Runic Knight, Asgar Foust from Runic Knight. While painting it, I just like took decisions on the fly of, oh, I'm gonna do this way, gonna do that way. So I, and in the class, she encouraged us to try NMM, non-metallic metal. So yeah, I did a non-metallic metal before in the past, but never that much. So I tried to push that NMM on this guy really farther than what I usually did. So I went to other painters group, asked for critique. I look at other people that were doing NMM. I just tried to push it more, and came out really great. So I guess I'm gonna try it again. The next one, well, will out that I want to try NMM on, I will try to push it even more. So that's just a small example of do it. Like, give yourself challenges and just do it. You might be surprised. Other things, yeah, other milestone. Woohoo! I painted my first bust. I did a zombie bust from Tor Gaming that sadly is out of production. It's really just a small bust, like it's 2 inch by 3 inch, like a really small scale for a bust. But I mean, the theme, I like the theme, is zombie, so it's mostly just flesh and gore. But yeah, I wanted to try my hand at a different scale, do a bust for once. It's not gonna be my last, for sure. And lastly, I have two Blightbringer commission going on, so I'm painting Blightbringer number one right now. That's
Nice.
it
What's the
for
scheme?
I have two Blightbringers. The first one is the first same one as the Archangel I painted.
Oh, the famous Archangel that Belle La Souls keep reposting every
Yeah,
year on Twitter.
exactly. Every 6 months, boop, boop, it will just pop up again. What? Again, this guy? Jesus. Even Privateer Press, man, they forget and they just share it again on their Twitter from time to time. It's like, okay, cool.
Watermark.
Damn, man, it's not watermarked.
I know, that's what I'm
And
saying. You need to start watermarking.
they don't give credits anymore. I mean, I see that model like in my Twitter feed. It's like there's no indication that I painted it. Damn it. Anyway, the first Blightbringer is that scheme for the same client. So it's a red skin and a dark blue carapace, armor, whatever. And the other one is a scheme that Paul is now accustomed to. The purple flesh and dark blue carapace.
Yeah.
It's just funny when the client, it's not the same client as Paul, by the way. He gave me reference models and is like, oh, okay, what are the chances?
Yeah. It would have only been funnier if he would have given you a picture of the model I did for my client as a reference. that would have been hilarious.
Oh yeah, for sure. No. Funny. No, he already has models painted like that. So that's why I was like, oh, okay.
Where does your client play?
Not on the sideshow.
Okay. So it'd be funny if you played it the beginner. So he might end up facing the ones I painted. Yeah,
mirror matches. For real.
Exactly. Yeah, I got a Blightbringer to do for my guy too, but it won't be for another couple weeks because he wants to play with it first. He couldn't part with it right away to have it painted.
Okay. Well, the first one is the red one, so I'm going to take a couple of weeks to paint it before I can do the purple one. And that's it for my hobby. Games. Ninja All-Star with Tonio and the guys. During the masterclass, we had the visit of Captain Spud, the sculptor, our sculptor friend from Toronto. I'm going to say Toronto area. What?
I remember that same night, and we need to mention it, I played Relics.
Yeah, that's true, Relics.
I gave a Relics demo to Mike from Epic Duck Studio.
Yep.
Okay, end of the parenthesis.
But he liked it, and he's starting to play on his side too. That's important. More Relics, best unknown game ever.
And to be honest, more Guild Ball, because I also gave a Guild Ball demo that night to Liz and him. And they're
he bought a team.
They're both getting into it, I think. So.
Liz wants to get into it with her husband.
Yep.
Because Jonathan's interested in it as well, so.
Guild Ball is the new black. So if you're not into it right now, you're missing out. That game is super fun.
Sorry, Dan. You've been replaced.
Oh, I gave him a demo this week. So he's black too. In both hands.
Okay.
I mean, you know the expressions, right? The new black, whatever. I didn't say token black guy. I just said black. Okay. So on that night that Tonio was giving Relics demo and Guild Ball demos, I had a game with a Warmer Hordes with Spud. It's been a long while since we had a game, especially Warmer Hordes, because he doesn't play anymore. So he brought his Signar army, his red Signar army. He was using Nemo Tree, and I was playing my Pink Legion with Tag One, and it was really like a fun casual game of doing mistakes after mistakes because we didn't really care and we did stupid stuff. So at one point, he put Nemo too far forward, and he has other like solos next to him. And once we both realized that I have an option for a caster kill, he started encouraging me to do a Mutagenesis caster kill with Tag One. It's one of his spells. So it's a spell with Tag One that if you destroy a living model, or just a model, you replace it by Tag One. And then you cannot move anymore, but you can still attack. So the point was to kill a solo next to Nemo, to teleport next to Nemo, and then kill Nemo in melee. But a Mutagenesis caster kill is a once in a blue moon kind of event, because it costs a lot of fury to pull out. So normally you have to be lucky to have, with the fury you have left, to kill a caster. So, because Nemo doesn't have a lot of hit points, and because I had a Harrier with the enemy who lets me auto-hit in melee, so all in all, it came down that I succeeded a Mutagenesis caster kill, which is pretty rare. So we were like both happy that it succeeded, because like, oh, it's about our first time that we see it happen on the table. Hey, high five, yes! So you can see how serious that game was.
Yeah. and then he gave you something at the end of the game. He rewarded you for your caster.
God! He gave me a prize for defeating him. No, it's he gave me... He did something lots of years ago. I mean, when did we meet them, Antoine?
Like the first year
we went to TempleCon.
Yeah. 2009, I think.
Yeah, that's...
Or 2010. I'm not sure which, but yeah.
Must be 9. Anyway, so he wanted to play a specific list with Darius that needed two units of sword knights. So he had one unit of sword knights, but he didn't want a second unit that would look the same. So he converted a full unit of, well, he used gobber models, like goblins, gobber models, and like they look like mechanics, and he did a full unit of them. Well, it's with the UA. So converted a full unit of those goblin mechanics to use a sword knight, and I always liked that unit, and I always used to joke that I wanted that unit. I wanted him to cast it and give me a, oh, not give me, but sell me a copy, or just sell me the unit. But since he was not playing anymore, and he saw that I was so like, how can you say that, like strong on that unit? I'm strong or whatever. Like I really like that unit. He just give it to me in exchange for because I was offering shelter at my house during the weekend, etc., etc. So yeah, I have a prize. I have that famous unit of cover sword knights.
And it looks
Finally,
awesome.
it looks really awesome. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm gonna now play with two units of sword knights just for that.
I want him to get to, I want to get him to sculpt me a Gobber Man o' War. Because that would be awesome.
And he probably can and will. Yeah, he has a lot of cool ideas, this guy. And lastly, I had two games of switching subject of Gid Ball, in which I discovered something that normally I play the Brew Wars. Okay, so it's a really like in your face like melee team. They hit you first and then they try to score a goal. And we have one good striker in our team that striker are models that try to score goals. Her name is Friday. It's the only girl on my team. And when she moves around, normally my little mascot is called Scum. It's a cat. It's a alley cat. So the cat follow her around. Okay. And normally I have my captain, which is a melee beast, who goes in, and then I have a second beater that call his name is Hooper, who join him like they're like a murder twins, right? So in those games, Tapper was too far away, so Friday had to support Tapper, and I discovered that Friday and Tapper and Scum are a really good murder squad. So in my two last game of Guild Ball, instead of trying to score goals with Friday, I just joined him with Tapper and Scum, and they've just been killing people all over the place. And at some point in the game, after I kill some people, well, Friday goes in for the ball, and or somebody gives the ball to Friday and she scores a goal on top of that. So pretty much like the Discovery Murder Squad with Friday. She looks like a striker, but she hits really hard. Mean, mean, mean girl.
So it's always fun when you learn like a new way to use the models you have.
Yep.
It's like a mini Christmas.
Mini Christmas. Yeah. Let's just say that because in this game, like maybe you don't know people, but you have a limited number of spots on the team that you can play. Like there's only like there's a one captain, one mascot, four players, but you have more available players than just four, so you have to decide who's gonna be on the team. So Friday, the point of Friday was to score goals until that point. Now I don't see myself not putting Friday on the team because she can score goals. She's the best in my team to score goals. Plus she can murder stuff. So I don't see myself putting her, leaving her on the bench anytime soon. And but yeah, like you said, mini Christmas.
Awesome. Anything else?
And oh no, I think that's enough. I'm done.
All right. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll do our hobby tip of the episode, and we'll go into the main topic. So we'll be right back, geeks.
back.
Let's get going with the hobby tip of the episode. Antoine, take it away.
Okay, this time I'm going to talk about green stuff. Not how to use it, but how to help you use it or how to store it, stuff like that. So the first tip is cold is good for your green stuff. Especially if you buy it in large quantities, it might dry up after some time. It seems to work, but it might be harder to work with, or especially if you have there's one that's like a tape that the both part are stuck together, not like the tape is half white, half yellow and half blue, and the middle part where they touch, it usually harden, and as it goes, the hardened part widen and widen. But what you can do to help it, help keep it and prolong its life, it's put it in the freezer. So if you put your green stuff in the freezer while you're not using it, it stops and slows down the reaction of the body. So because the body generates heat to cure, and while it's in the freezer, it contract that. So you, and even while you're working on your green stuff, if you have to, let's say, have an urgent matter to attend, and that won't take more than 15, maybe half an hour, you could put your stuff in the freezer and bring it back when you come back and continue to work, and it wouldn't have hardened as much as if you have left it on the table, let's say. So that's nice to know. And the second one is, well, cold is good for your green stuff, but so is heat. If you're working and want to fasten your working on it, you could buy just get an incandescent bulb or any small oven, and if you put your green stuff under it, the heat will get the hardening faster. So you could continue to work on another part of the model without putting big thumbprint on them faster. That right. way you can do more than one or two session of work during the day, and because if you don't wait, it stays soft for quite a while and you're going to ruin your model. So
right, so you can use heat to speed up the curing of the curing, green stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to think back. In the episode with Spud, didn't he mention a type of oven that he'd bought off Amazon to use to cure clay?
Yeah, but that might be a bit too extreme.
Oh, okay. I was thinking maybe it would work also for this.
It could. I would need to... I don't advise it because I don't know. You can probably turn it to a lower setting and not put it too long in it.
Yeah, so it won't damage the model itself.
Yeah, because the other clay needs to be cured too harden at
That's
all.
That's true. He's sculpting a whole model. It's not small, not adding or converting. Yeah.
And green stuff is self-curing, but you can just help it to go faster. So I don't know how much heat you can put on it without it breaking down or the reaction not working as well.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So that's it.
Science. All right. Science. Yeah.
Science is your friend in the miniature hobby. All right. So let's go right into our main topic, which is licenses we would like to see as minis or games. So this is something we've actually talked about for a while now, because we planned this episode like a month and a half ago.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
And we even had a question from Mike about that. That we skipped because we already had it in our episode list.
Yeah. You know, it took me a long time to come up with something because, I think Yom said something outside the recording that everything we kind of wanted is done, right? And that's kind of how I feel. There's so much variety now in miniature wargaming.
Yeah.
That it's really hard to find other licenses that you'd want to bring in a miniature war game that don't really overlap with a current game. So after a little bit of thinking, I came up with a couple. The first of which is Pokemon. And I love the tagline he came up with, gotta paint them all. but Pokemon, I think, has some interesting things. So you could have different trainers giving monsters different abilities. And of course, you can always pick different monsters for your battles. The monsters all have different traits. I think they'd make super cute miniatures, especially with the trend in chibis and stuff now that we're seeing.
Yeah.
I think they would be interesting, fun things to paint. A good way to introduce kids to the miniature hobby.
Honestly, I'm surprised it does not exist.
It's probably a licensed thing. The cost is probably prohibitive for most companies.
Oh, yeah. Make good
I could see them pre-painted a bit like... what's the other chibi game that's already full
pre-painted? Crowmasters?
Yeah, Crowmasters. They're all cute and anime-like.
That game is so expensive, though.
Yeah, for sure. But with pre-painted like that, it could sell like hotcakes, probably, with a license behind it.
For sure. But I just think it's such a neat idea. And you make some different small terrains for your arenas and stuff to battle with.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of potential there. And Lord knows there's enough Pokemon. I mean, I don't know what the current count is.
I don't know the last count, but just today I went to the library with my boy. And we brought back an essential handbook to the Pokemon trainer with 640 in it. And I'm pretty sure it doesn't contain the XY series that's going on right now.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, 721.
Ah, so I'm missing a season.
721.
So that's certainly enough variety of models to make someone money.
Yes.
Right? You keep producing stuff for years and years. So yeah, I think that would be a fun game. Mm-hmm. Would I play it? Maybe.
How would you see the game going? Like one-on-one battle like the show?
Yeah, I think it would have to be a one-on-one. Well, isn't that what most skirmish games are?
Yeah, but in Pokemon, you don't have multiple Pokemon going at it. In the arena, it's one, and when he's out, or you can switch, but you always have only one character fighting another character.
This is true.
When they're in official arenas, there's always hijinks and skirmish outside of the arenas during the show, but...
Yeah, no, this is true. So you'd probably have to do some sort of variation on that rule, because otherwise it wouldn't be very tactically interesting.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I'm sure something could be done.
Couldn't you have like encounters, like two players playing against the board, if I can say, quote unquote?
Yeah, there's a big monster
Pokemon and two players are trying to beat it.
Yeah, so wild Pokemons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. It would work more like as a campaign, probably.
Do you get to do an anti system where if you beat your opponent, you get to take his Pokemons?
That could work in a campaign setting. That would be cool.
Well, the person who's Pokemon who keeps losing their Pokemon might not think so.
Yeah, but... not the miniature, but the character in it. I remember playing in Necromunda and my crazy fire Nico. Redemptionists were stealing people and converting them anyway, so it's about the same. And with the campaign mode, you could add more Pokemons to your lineup as you go, so paint them as you find them during the game.
Yeah, expand your arsenal.
Constant slow grow league.
Yep.
That's kind of like what they did with the 25 seasons of Pokemon or however many there are.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a slow grow league.
721. Jeez.
And I mean, it's not always the same characters, but if you think about it, you know, he starts off with one Pokemon, the main character from the first original series, Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at the end of the series, I don't know how many he has, but it's got to be, I don't know, 30, 40, whatever, however many he's got.
So. If not more.
If not more, exactly. So, I think it works.
Yeah.
All right. What did you come up with?
I come up with Shadowrun. I think we all, as old gamers, we all have a love for Shadowrun. There's a tragic story that comes with it. In 2013, Catalyst Games, they announced that it was the year of Shadowrun and that they will release like different version of the game. So there was the fifth edition of the RPG. There was a card game also named Crossfire. And they talk about releasing a miniature tabletop game called Sprawlgangers. The original plan was fall of 2013, and then they had production issue, and then they had design issue, and anyway, they had issues. And the last I could read about it was in May 2014, saying that, we had some issues, but now everything is on the way, and expect news soon. May 2014. Yeah, I guess it never came. It will never came to be, but I think it will make a cool game.
Yeah, the concept was cool. With the different gangs.
Well, I can see
street gangs.
Yeah. Two things. I mean, maybe it's too much like mercs, but I can see gang against, like, operative against operative, like gangers against other Shadowrunners, or maybe you play Shadowrunners against some Megacorps guards.
Yeah, too.
So that's the two way I can see it happening. But yeah, a small skirmish, like low scale. I mean, you have only a handful of minis. Yeah, I can see that happening. Like maybe alternate activation, something really quick, easy. You have only a handful of minis.
You know, there was actually a Shadowrun miniature game at one point, huh?
Was it a miniature game? I know there was minis for the RPG.
Yeah, there
RPG.
Were miniatures, but
I don't know about the game.
Produced by, like, Reaper, I don't know what.
No, Ralpartha.
Ralpartha, okay.
There was actually a miniatures game by WizKids.
Never heard of it. Called Shadowrun Duels.
No one ever heard of it. It was, I don't know how many miniatures were made. I don't know much about the game. But the miniatures, they weren't really miniature. They were pre-paints. And they were, I don't know, 5 inches tall, 6 inches tall. Think about the size of, like, the Battletech figures, if you remember those.
Almost action figures of that size.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And they had multiple dials. So instead of just one dial, you had, like, two or three dials for the models. It didn't do well. And there wasn't a lot of variety. I think there was maybe a dozen miniatures for it or whatever at the time it was killed off.
What? A WizKid game that don't go well?
Yeah, I know.
You're full of crap, Polfio. It never happened.
No. Hold on. Shadowrun Duels. Yep. In 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
Complete. Maybe because of the weird scale and pre-paint, but...
People thought the game was too expensive. But they were priced like action figures, so probably $7-$8 a model. But they were the size of action figures. And you only needed one or two figures to play the game. But people thought it was... I don't know. I guess
expensive.
This didn't... Yeah.
Okay. Terran, maybe?
So the game was announced... there were going to be three releases of 6 figures each. The third series was never produced due to low sales.
Wow. Yeah, but at that size, on what do you play?
Yeah, you need specific terrain for it at this point. Like, so make it a 32 mil, and you can use all your Infinity or whatever sci-fi terrain you have. Yeah.
Yeah, and you had... Could work.
It's time for this game to be reborn.
Yeah, you had a bunch of interesting stuff, too. They've got a miniatures list on Wikipedia. I'm sidetracking this a little bit. So you had a male human vigilante, you had a female Yakuza assassin, an elf mage female, a male orc bouncer, male troll mage, male dwarf rigger, a female human mage, a male street sam, a female elf cat burglar, a male shaman, a male human shaman, I should say, male orc bodyguard, male troll ganger, and a male dwarf.
So they had a good list, at least.
It was a good variety of stuff, yeah. Wave 3 would have included a female vampire, a male street ganger, a Scottish elf, a security guard, a decker, a female decker, and a cyber zombie.
How can you see Matrix happening in tabletop miniature, I mean?
Well, you know what? That was my biggest problem with the role-playing game, is when you start doing decking and stuff, it really, like... It's like you have to run two games at the same time.
Yeah.
So while the decker's doing stuff, everyone else is sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is how they've evolved it. Because when I started playing Shadowrun, it was in second edition. So decking was literally, you had the the jack at your temple or whatever, and you had to jack in and do stuff.
Yes.
But now
yes.
it's all wireless. Mm-hmm. They've adapted with time, so you're like wirelessly in the net and stuff, and it's interesting. Okay, well, I'm done with my tangent, guys. You can go back to talk.
I just think it could be reborn. Yeah, it's me. I don't know what's really happening right now. It's just too bad.
Yeah, and I wonder if the reason we haven't seen the game is that, according to what I'm reading on Wikipedia, Topps owns the rights to the miniatures game that existed as of 2010. Maybe they still own the rights. And so Catalyst Game Labs would have had a conflict with Topps.
Maybe. It would prevent them from using it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have been a different game and stuff, but it's the same IP, so...
Yeah,
Depending on how the license was originally written from FASA...
Mm-hmm. Length of it. So they might just be waiting for the license to go out.
Yeah, because the license was owned by WizKids, obviously. But when Topps sold WizKids, they didn't sell that license.
Uh-huh.
So, oddly enough. So, yeah, a little bit of education with our discussion.
Yep.
Antoine, what do you got?
First one would be Tribe 8. That's an RPG by Dreampon 9.
Yeah, I can just imagine what the rule set for that would be like.
Oh, it's the Silhouette rule set, so it's pretty cool. The RPG rule set, the second edition, was fine. So I don't know how much it would fit into it. And I mention it because for a while Tribe 8 was still edited, there was ideas for a miniature game. They did some list of possible models for each faction. So the idea was cool. For people who don't know Tribe 8, it's a post-apocalyptic tribal setting. So,
set in Montreal,
yeah. But instead of being most of the post-apocalyptic you see is more a team around, let's say, something like Mad Max, where it's a fight for resource and it's all cars and broken down tech and stuff like that. In Tribe 8, there's one faction that's centered around that, the Keepers, but most of the other factions are more tribal and shamanistic. So magic came back, or how they see it, the River of Dreams. So they can do some channeling of the dream flow and do special effects. So it has more of a medieval setting than, but in a modern post-apocalyptic look. So it's pretty cool, and the bad guys of the setting are spirits that came from the spirit world when the big event happened, and they don't have a physical representation. So what they use is bodies. So they use the body of people, and they even farmed them during the early time they came through. So they were farming humans to be able to match the body together, to mold them and do what they want with them. So you have one of they are called as Breeze, and one of the faction are more like a big hive. So they just add bodies together, but just like the exterior part. So big, giant, fleshy Hulk. But you have others that are more the colorics, I think, and they use more of the bone and sinews, so you would have something without flesh going at you in big giant molded creatures. So there's a large variety of models possible for that, and with the magic system and the Keeper adding a bit of technology to it, that would be a lot of variety to it. That has always been my favorite RPG, and also the visual style, the artwork on it was pretty interesting, and they had a distinct feel compared to other books and other RPGs at the same time. So Tribe 8 would be my main choice.
That would be a bit like Dark Age-ish?
Maybe a
bit. You have factions of human, and you have factions of weird stuff.
Well, the humans have 10 factions. Like the tribes, the tribe eight means that there's eight different tribes of humans. You have the keepers, you have the wild people, but I can see, yeah, maybe there could be similarities with it. Dark Age is more techie. You have guns, you have some character with like cyber mounts and stuff like that. That doesn't exist in Tribe 8. But yeah, I could see some of the like the brood, I think, in Dark Age could maybe be similar a bit to this breeze. Yeah. So yeah, that could be a similar thing. I don't think the look fit, but the overall theme, yeah, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, more like the feel maybe, or
yeah,
the number of guys that you would mm-hmm. bring, what kind of people you would find.
Yeah, and the setting is not exactly the same. Like Tribe 8 is set in almost present time, while Dark Age is sci-fi, and the planet was left to its own. So all the tech is a lot more advanced in it, and there's not really magic in it, while Tribe 8 is full of magic. So. But yeah, I can see the similarities. Yeah. For the rules, the amount of model would be probably similar too. So it could be a good start for a home rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paul, next one.
Yeah, this...
Looking at okay. your taglines.
Yeah. This, again, is something Antoine and I were talking about before the show, before we started recording. And this wasn't originally one of my choices. And I'll explain why afterwards. So my second choice is Transformers, Minis in Disguise. I mean, Transformers, you obviously have a few different factions. You've got the possibility of skirmish or large scale. The models would be cool. There's the whole, you know, multiple modes. So you could have vehicle mode, you know, for enhanced movement or different capabilities. And then your robot mode for your greater attack power and versatility. You know, you could do something really neat. And I'm sure the models would look cool because, you know, Transformers, I mean, come on. But like I told Antoine, I'm hesitant to suggest anything from my childhood that I hold dear to my heart because I've seen what happens, you know, Robotech, where they took something that was near and dear to me and they made a fairly decent-ish game out of it that never really released properly and had models that you needed an engineering degree to put together with mold lines.
Terrible.
Like, mold lines facing you. Like not hidden, not even mold lines, gaps where you put pieces together, like seams facing outwards to the front to the eye, like it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, building them for the listeners, it's like scale models, but at really really small scale.
Yeah, it's like someone took a master grade Gundam model, which is a foot tall, and shrunk it down to something 2 inches tall with the same number of pieces.
Yep. No fun. No fun to build.
You assembled one, Yoma.
Yes, two.
Two. Okay.
When I got that model, that free sprued Adepticon last year, I was so excited. You have no idea. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have, and I was gonna build them, and I had someone I was gonna give it to because I have a friend who's a big, big Robotech fan. And then I looked at that sprue when I got home, and I really looked at it. And then Yoma started talking to me about trying to assemble it, and I went, uh huh. That sprue is now lost somewhere in my room. I know I still have it. I didn't throw it out. Where it's lost, I don't know.
It's like,
but I'm not going to go looking for it.
And you don't care either.
Yeah, exactly.
Last. Oh, boy. It's not a big loss.
You know, and I would hate to see something like that happen to Optimus Prime. That's all I'm saying.
But it could be bigger.
You know, he's voiced by a Montrealer. He deserves better. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I mean, seriously though.
If memory serves, it was rarely like big armies of Transformers, more like handfuls against handfuls.
Well, it depends. If you look at the movie, the animated movie,
there. Oh, yeah, of course, like hundreds.
Yeah, but that, yeah. So I'm saying you could in theory do everything, right? You could make a game that scaled from, you know, 3-on-3 to 25-on-25. You know, it wouldn't be full army scale. It'd be more like War Machine army scale, not 40K army scale.
You know, I was thinking of Dust. I don't know why. You see, like the size that the vehicle have, and maybe the number of vehicles that you will see in a Dust army, that, like, maybe under 10 guys, 10 Transformers, well, against 10 Transformers. Maybe
I mean, the scale is not really important to my thought process. It's more like I'm just afraid what they do to it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. Because, like, you were talking about factions, but there's not a lot of factions, but there's a lot of sub-factions in Transformers. Or sets or stuff like that.
There are three factions I can think of off the top of my head, if we're going with just classic Generation 1 Transformers.
Maybe that's why I was thinking of Dust, because you don't have a lot of factions, but you have lots of sub-factions or sets that if you take all the minis of a sub-faction, you get a bonus. Like, if you take all the guys that make up, you know, the construction vehicles guys, Devastator, yeah.
The Constructicons, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's all the Gestalt, like, combiner ones, yeah, for sure.
So you get a bonus, like, if you take the old set, because you can make Devastator.
You know, there's the Junkions, right? There's,
yeah,
the Quintessons with their shark guys. There's all kinds of potential there. I'd just be scared of what they do to it. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again.
And you can have a hippic version of a Transformer if you have the leadership matrix.
And you do something large scale where you've got, like, the Metroplexes and stuff fighting, the really big scale stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone? I'm going to Google search this.
It's like a Titan. It's like a 40K Titan.
Did anyone ever make Transformers miniatures? Someone must have.
I don't know. Maybe, like, the Pokemon, it's a licensed thing. It's nobody who's doing gaming won't touch it.
My God.
Oops, he found something.
Yeah, well...
it's bad.
So, it looks like they made, like, a Transformers Monopoly. So there's the game board pieces and stuff. And there's some crossover miniatures from the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover, apparently, that I'm finding. But I'm not seeing a lot out there. Which might be a good thing. Huh.
Yeah, see, I was talking about this. It fits again with the G.I. Joe crossover. Because you can have, like, the larger vehicles are the Transformer. Right? And you have the humans. Without G.I. Joes and Cobras. Right? It works.
Yeah, this is true. But yeah, so I'm not seeing anyone, so I guess it's never happened. I would have thought for sure. Unless, you count the guy who made the Optimus Prime orc vehicle that transformed.
Yeah. Oh, that thing was cool.
Yeah, well, it was an orc truck that transformed into Optimus Prime. I mean...
what's not to like?
And it was all scratch built. That was the best part. Yeah, there's nothing I can say about that. Can't beat that. Yep, so like that's it. That's it for me. Yom, did you have a second choice?
No, I don't have a second choice. Because, like you mentioned earlier, most IP already exists of things that, like, things that I like AVP, aliens or predators, already exist. Walking Dead now exists. Like, I don't see anything else. There's a lot. It's like the golden age of tabletop war games right now. There's games for everything. So, no, I don't see anything else.
Well, I guess that just leaves you, Antoine.
Okay. I have some other ideas. One thing I would like to see maybe is Hellboy and the BPRD. That's only a single faction, but it could work in a game a bit like Strangeons by Uncle Mike, where you have a team of investigator versus a team of strange stuff happening, like a cult. Strangeons work like you have three or four investigators, and it's a campaign game, and the other guy is playing like monsters. So the same feel works with Hellboy. So experience your agents from the BPRD could gain experience and or equipment and stuff like that. And you have the special characters, like the main characters, like Hellboy or the other ones, could come into the team once in a while, or one could lead the team, let's say. And as the game goes, you try to stop the Earth from being destroyed or something like that. And it would make cool miniatures. I think Knight has some miniatures for Hellboy.
If anyone does, it would be them.
Yeah, I think I saw some of them. But having more, and especially having more people from the BPRD to go with the team could work. Or them having them do monsters instead of what you see most of the pulp stuff is. Most of the pulp culture are pretty are not bad, but more old style. If Nightmolder did some monster from the Hellboy line, that would be pretty cool.
So apparently SJ Games makes Hellboy miniatures.
Steve Jackson?
The site is SJ Games. Oh my god, it is Steve Jackson, yeah? Yeah, look, there's a big Illuminati symbol at the top of the page. So yeah, that's gotta be it. I just Googled it and I saw SJ Games. I'm like, okay, whatever. It didn't click Steve Jackson, yeah.
I'll need to take a look.
Don't get your hopes up.
No, they're not. Oh, okay.
What?
This is not, the modern standard of miniature sculpting.
Okay. And is it a game or just minis?
I think it's just minis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
From watching the movies or reading the comic books, what I see is either a single or multiplayer game where you play the agents and you fight monsters.
Yeah. That's
big, like a Kingdom Death.
Yeah, that's exactly how Strangeons works, or even like you say Kingdom Death in a more board game matters. Yeah,
so. Like AI controlled monsters and fight that thing.
Oh, you could go AI. That's true. The in Strangeons, the bad guys are played by somebody too, and he gets points as the heroes go stronger. The bad guy have more option too. But with an AI like Kingdom, that would be a good idea too. It would work for a cooperative game. Yeah. I'm not too sure. However, because the power of the characters are pretty different in scale, like Hellboy versus one of their regular human in the BPRD.
Everyone wants to be Hellboy.
Yeah.
I can be Ape Sapien. It's cool.
Yeah. It's cool, but get one of the human. They don't stand much of a chance.
Maybe you control like 5 humans or 10 to compensate. Yeah.
That's why maybe
it's just not exactly a fair a fair matchup.
It's like everybody wants to be player one, right? Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The next one I had in mind is Avatar the Last Airbender with all the different faction and the
that's a cool thought.
Yeah. And
I didn't mean to cut you off. You can keep talking.
No, that's fine.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think visually it could give some really cool minis and also interesting like terrain effects or special effects you could have in minis form, like Rotwald or Firewald or stuff like that. With all the bending they do, you could have terrain material you could use also. And there's a bunch of way you could handle the game, like a bigger scale or a small pure faction versus pure faction, or a small group of adventurers or anything. So That would be pretty cool, and it could be a really fast-moving, like, I would say kung fu, because I'm not well-versed in Asian terminology, but like kung fu with special martial arts and all the bending they do. So it would be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's cool. And you got the, I think you're right. You have enough variety for models and settings. I think it could be pretty neat. I see it more as a small skirmish game.
Yeah.
I see it like a bit like a little. Oh no, come on. The game, the game that James Waffle likes.
Exodus?
Yeah. What was Exodus? Why did I draw a blank there? Okay, so
the game you own a faction for?
Yeah. So you could have like the basic factions and like bunch of hired hands who are just soldiers and couple of solos that can bend.
Oh yeah, your main character and some of your henchmen could be benders, and the rest could be just regular troopers.
Yep.
Yeah, that would work. Or maybe also. Another game that might be similar is Yashima. It's a miniature board game I got last year. I haven't tried it yet, but it's in the same style. People are, they all have a kami working with them, and they have special martial art powers coming from the kami. So, wave of fire or stuff like that. So it could work in a similar way. In Yashima, it's, you only control one character. Something similar with multiple character, and not in a board game fashion, just in a miniature game line. And the terrain for something like that could be pretty cool too. It's not terrain we usually see, but more colorful, but also with Asian themed and some pretty special stuff too, with the like around the air temple and stuff, flying rocks and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I was thinking you could take a page out of Games Workshop's book and do the whole, what do they call it, the realms or whatever?
Yeah, each a bit realm like has the different realms, abilities. Yeah. That's true.
Like, that's a neat idea.
And there's potential, of course.
And now that we've said this, someone else is going to take this idea and run with it, and we're going to look stupid.
That's I know.
Cool. Yeah, no, maybe there's an IP issue there too, like all the others.
Yeah, I'm most definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else?
A quick last one, but as you already mentioned, both of you, most of the stuff is already out. One of my favorite book is Mouse Guard, but those could be already represented easily by the Mouselings from Reaper, or maybe the Mice and Mystic miniatures. So
I don't really see.
No? I'll lend you the books. It's pretty cool. It's a anthropomorphized mice, but they're really alone in there. Only the mice are intelligent. So you have mice in natures, and they have to fight, just survive. It's an RPG, but also it's a series of comic book, but also, they also have an RPG in it. And I think only one or two other races are intelligent. So when they encounter other animals, they have to try to survive. Survive against them, or
the encounter.
in the RPG, just going through a storm is a big event for mice. So,
and the artwork's interesting. I'm looking at their website right now.
Yeah, the artwork by David Peterson is incredible. I really love his style. So the Mouseling from Reaper could fit, but they don't have like the ears are not as big. And they're more like fantasy adventurer, while the Reaper mice are more like naked mice, I would say, with just a bit of equipment.
Yeah, David Pearson's Mouse Guard are kind of like if mice met Batman. That's they all kind of have the old Batman art, the guy that did the older Batman, did Dark Knight Returns and stuff.
Oh,
Frank Miller.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Frank Miller. Yeah, okay, where Batman has like the super like pointy like ears, but they're really really wide on the cowl. That's what these mice look like. Mm-hmm. So,
but for that, I would love to paint them, but as a game, I don't think it really worked out because you wouldn't have enough opponent for them. So that's why it works well in an RPG, because you can go versus nature easily. But in a war game against nature, that would be pretty boring.
Yeah. Still might be a good idea, because those mouselings are really cool for Reaper. There's so many different ones. They've got a lot of cute models.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I was actually looking at my Space Marine mouseling the other day. He's so adorable. He will probably make an appearance in my annual Apocalypse game against Yom.
Urakan as a commander.
That's right. I'll paint him as a space wolf. Just very kind of confused space wolf.
I was to become a wolfen, but something went wrong.
Exactly. All right. Anything else?
No, that rounds it up.
Okay. Well, I think we have some cool ideas and all that. I'm interested to hear what other people think might be interesting. As an IP license for a game. I'm sure listeners will have some sort of feedback on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something we didn't think of.
Share with us on Facebook or any of the social media network. Let us know what you would like to see. What license already exists that you would like to see minis for or a game? And you don't need to have a game if some characters exist that you just want to paint, maybe. That would be cool.
Yeah, there's so many different things out there. I'm sure people are going to have some neat ideas. All right. Well, you know what, guys? That's our show. So before we close this up for the night, does anyone have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I would like to give a shout-out to the gang of Art7. That's a new War Machine and Ords podcast from Quebec, too. But they are doing it in French, and there isn't a lot of tabletop gaming stuff here. It's mostly video game when you listen to podcasts around the province. So having them talk about the game in French is pretty interesting. So most of our listeners are probably, that goes completely over their head. But for the locals who might be interested in hearing other people talk about a tabletop game, give them a listen. They're at their fifth or sixth episode right now. So, and they have been steadily releasing. So
cool.
They're cool.
Awesome.
I wonder if they will hear that shout out.
Maybe. I don't know if they listen to us, so.
But we do know we have French listeners who play War Machine, so.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
it's for them. Yeah.
It might trickle down to them some exactly. way.
Or at least might get them some people listening to their show.
Yep.
So long as they don't abandon our show to go to their show, I'll be okay. Otherwise, I will be deeply, deeply hurt. I'm just throwing that out there, guys.
Please don't leave hurt us. Paul.
Don't leave us. I promise we'll do better. We've already got a topic for next show. It'll be coming soon. All right. Oh, you know what? I think that's it, guys. So have a good night, and we'll do this again soon.
Bye.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio, and Antoine at ElTonioBerg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find
The Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. you can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.